This morning we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12, in a similar message to what we've heard before. You know, as we begun our study through Luke, a few things have happened to me personally, and hopefully they're happening to you as well. I cannot help, as I read through Luke, but to get a major theme throughout the Gospel of Luke over and over and over again, and that is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the message that we are called to share salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, as I'm studying for sermons, I realize that this week's message is somewhat similar to ones we've had as we've studied through Luke. As I'm putting Luke chapter 12 together, I'm going, I feel like we've shared this before. And it reminds me of a pastor who was new to his church. And he stood up there on the first Sunday and preached a wonderful message. Everyone came up afterwards and said, "Pastor, we're so glad you're here. Your first Sunday was great. Your message was wonderful." And the next week he stood up and he preached word for word the exact same message. And the people thought it was strange, but they went up afterwards and said, "Pastor, we're so glad you're here. You had a good message this morning. Thank you for sharing." And the next week he stood up and he started again, word for word, and preached the same exact message for the third week in a row. People were starting to wonder what was going on. Maybe this really was a case of a preacher having only one good sermon. And so one of the deacons pulled him aside afterwards and said, "Do you realize you've preached the same sermon 3 weeks in a row?" He said, "Yes, and when you start applying this one, I'll move on to the next one." Yeah, as you read through the book of Luke, you see some repetitious themes. And one of the themes we see over and over and over again is that believers cannot stay silent. We must share what the gospel message has done for our lives and what it can do for others. So this morning's message is entitled "Speak Up." And if as we study it, you go, "Pastor, are you ever going to move on past preaching on evangelism?" The answer is no. And so if you're tired of hearing about evangelism, you need to stop reading the Bible, because over and over and over again, we hear Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." We hear Jesus over and over and over saying, "Go and take the good news. Send them out and let them minister to the people." You see over and over and over again this idea that we are called to share our faith. And week in, week out, as we hear these words from the Bible, I wonder if we're like that congregation sitting there listening to the words but never letting it sink in and apply to our daily lives. I don't want you to do a show of hands, because I'm not about calling people out from the pulpit. But sitting on your hands for just a moment, ask yourself this question. As I've heard messages that are calling me to share my faith, have I, in the last week, shared the gospel with an individual? Don't raise your hands. Just ponder that question for just a moment. Some of you say, "You know what? At Bible school, I did." So good. I'm glad we're applying it. What about the week before when you didn't have vacation Bible school? What about in the last month? How many of you all have not just invited someone to church, but shared the gospel message with an individual? Started at the beginning, and God tells us that we're sinful people in need of saving, and here's the solution. Jesus Christ is the Savior. In the last month, or let's go even further. How many of you all in the last year have failed to share the gospel with an individual? I dare say that there are people in here who, if we said in your entire life, have you ever communicated with your own lips, "This is how Jesus can save you," to another person? And you would have to sit on your hands and say, "In my entire life, I've never shared that with another individual." I know this to be true because a recent survey I read, I think it was back in 2010 or 2012, said that only somewhere around 60% of pastors outside of a sermon have shared their faith with another individual. Only around 60%. That means 4 out of 10 pastors that they surveyed outside of preaching a sermon have not shared their faith one-on-one with another person. And if that's true of pastors and ministers, I know it's true of everyone else. So this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 12, our message is entitled, "Speak Up." God is calling us to say something. I'm in a lot of prayer, and I think it's because we've been going through the book of Luke, about how we can best equip you as a church to feel confident in sharing your faith with someone else. And this morning, I want to look at a few obstacles to sharing your faith. A few questions to ask yourself that maybe are keeping you from opening your mouth and sharing the gospel message with another individual. Really, there are four obstacles we're going to look at this morning. There are many, many more. The one that I've not listed in here is probably the one that we talk about the most, and the one that is what most people claim is their biggest fear in talking to someone else about their faith. And that is, I don't know what to say. Any of you, and you can raise your hands for this, say, I don't even know necessarily where I would begin a conversation to share my faith with someone else. Anybody care to admit that? I don't even know how I would start that. You guys are sitting on your hands still, but I know. I get this all the time. I don't know what to say. And so we're going to have a clear gospel presentation this morning. Just to get that out of the way. I want you to know what it means to be a Christian. I want you to know for yourself what it means that you've accepted Christ. And then I want you to be able to communicate that to someone else. Now, I've tried drawings, and we're going to get back to drawings at some point. My technology is faster than I am on drawings, so I'm going to do it without the drawings this morning. Let me share with you what it means to be a Christian. It starts with an acknowledgement that we live in a broken world. I think everyone can agree with that. If you want to start a conversation with someone, just talk about what's wrong with the world, because we can all acknowledge, just by simply turning on the news, that there is crime, that there is terror. We can look at and watch our evening news and see poverty. We can see brokenness. We can see school shootings. We can see natural disasters. We understand this world is not what it was meant to be. And I think everyone can agree that this world has a broken element to it. And our own hearts are the same way. I mean, forget about the world out there. What about what's broken in our own lives? I think every single one of us can acknowledge we're far from perfect. We don't always do what is right. As a matter of fact, given our own desires, we often choose what is wrong. Our own hearts are broken. But the funny thing about being broken, if something is broken, that implies that at one point it was whole, right? Have you ever had a broken item that was not once new? Have you ever held something that is broken that you did not know of a time when it was whole? God created us, this entire world, perfect. And He created you and I, human beings, perfect, with a perfect heart that can love Him fully. But in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible describes an act that has continued from Adam and Eve all the way till today of rebellion against God. The Bible calls this sin. And in that act of sin, the world went from perfection to brokenness. Our hearts went from perfection to brokenness. Our perfect relationship with God was shattered so that we are completely separated now from Him. And this is a big problem for you and I, because we try to escape the broken world. As hard as we try to flee, there's always something that reminds us that our lives and our world is broken. So we try relationships and we realize those are imperfect. We try investing in a job or a career, and we realize that leaves us feeling empty and broken. We pursue things of the world, maybe finances or possessions, and we still feel empty. No matter how hard we try to escape, we can't escape the fact that our hearts and our lives are broken, and we need a restored relationship as God created us with God. And the only way we find that is by having someone do something about our brokenness, because we can't do it on our own. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came down to earth. He lived a perfect life. He was the only human being who never sinned and was perfect. But He died on a cross so that the punishment we deserve for our sin was given to Christ. And on the third day, He rose from the dead and conquered that guilt and that sin. The Bible tells us that if we will turn and believe, turn away from our sin, acknowledge that we should not live that way any longer, and believe in Jesus Christ, that we will be saved. What exactly are we believing in? We believe two things. One, that Jesus is our Savior, that He saves us from sin and brokenness. He saves our lives. He died on the cross for the purpose of bringing salvation. And we believe that He is our Lord, that is our King, that He is in charge of our lives. He tells us then how we should live. He helps us to live in the way that He created us to live. Not in a way that He's trying to boss us around. God knows how we can be the best person that He created us to be. And He lays that out for us. And we trust Him as our Lord or as our King. The Bible says when we trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, that we are made new. Our brokenness is restored. It's not just that God glues us back together, but God makes us a new creation so that we no longer are broken. We are a new creation. And it also calls us to follow him for the rest of our lives, for the rest of eternity, knowing that he's going to lead us down the path that is best for us. We trust and we follow. And that's the gospel message that is given to each one of us. If you want to know how to say it or what to say, there's a video that we'll be releasing this week with the illustrations to help you be able to jot it down on a napkin. But one of the coolest things about God's purpose in making us whole is that he doesn't end with just restoring us. He immediately gives us a mission. He immediately sends us back into the broken world to speak up and to say something. Now, you have no more excuses on not knowing what to say. This is recorded. It's live streamed. You can go back on Facebook later. Listen to it 2 or 3 times if you need to. Listen to it 100 times. We're going to put a video later on this week with a specific drawings that helps you grab a napkin and ask someone, can I just share something with you real quick? Draw a few pictures to help illustrate the gospel message and help you remember it better. You have no more excuse for not knowing what to say. There are resources out there for you to study and know. And more importantly, if God has saved you, you know it's true in your heart and your life. You can just tell others what God has done for you. There are other objections that we have. When we overcome that hurdle, I find no matter how much training or information we have, we still have questions and excuses that keep us from sharing our faith. And they're not necessarily a deficiency on our part or not a perceived deficiency on our part. It's not we don't know or we're nervous. It's that our lives aren't really characterized by the lives that Christ wants us to have. So as we read in Luke chapter 12, we're going to read verses 8 through 12. And really, we're going to go back even a few verses before that as we look at this message. And we're going to see different obstacles that are put in our lives or we place in our lives. We're going to ask questions about our own lives that help us to understand why we don't share our faith and how to overcome these obstacles. Look with me in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 12. It says, "And I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Whenever they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said." As Jesus is talking to his disciples, he reminds them that if we are going to be acknowledged before God, we must speak up. Anyone who acknowledges Christ on this earth will be acknowledged before God in heaven. And anyone who is too timid, too afraid, and refuses to speak up on behalf of Jesus Christ, a very scary passage that says, you will not be spoken for in the kingdom of heaven. Those who deny, whether you're outright, I refuse to acknowledge, or by your silence and your apathy, those who refuse to acknowledge God will not be acknowledged and not have a right relationship for eternity in heaven. This morning, there are certain obstacles that we have thrown at our feet. And I don't believe they're conscious decisions we make, but they're questions we need to ask ourselves. Our motivation for sharing our faith is lacking because we are not able to answer these questions honestly. And so I want to briefly look at 4 obstacles, 4 questions we need to ask ourselves to remove these barriers to talking about our faith with others. The first question we need to ask is, do you fear God? Do you have a healthy fear of God? Now, this does not mean, are you afraid of God? The Bible does not say, be afraid in terror of God. That's not what it says, okay? There is a sense of that type of fear involved here, but it's so much more than I'm scared. It's not like a child who's in the dark and is afraid of what's under its bed. There's not an idea of, are you afraid that God will smite you off the face of the earth? Instead, do you understand the nature of who God is? Do you have a fear and a respect and a love for God such that it propels you to speak up? Now, the other side of that is we don't want to water it down. When we talk about the fear of God, if you've heard that in church before, sometimes you just have heard it talked about as respect. Do you have this respect or reverence for who God is? There is a sense, especially if you are a non-believer, there is a sense of fear and terror. As a matter of fact, we should recognize in our own lives that because our lives are broken and we're separated from God, there should be a fear. There should be a sense of terror and confusion over what God might possibly do. There is a sense of being separated from God and recognizing that we are afraid of what might happen to our lives if we don't have a right relationship with God. That's why in Luke chapter 12, but before these verses that we read, Jesus says this in verses 4 and 5. I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. So verse 4, he says, don't be afraid of people who may persecute or harm you or hurt you. That's not who you're afraid of. They can do physical damage to you. But in verse 5, he says, I'll show you the one to fear. Fear him who has authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. Let me ask you, is Jesus here talking about a simple respect? Is he only saying have a reverence or an awe? Or is there a realization? Is there an understanding that God is a just and fair God? And when our sin is not accounted for and forgiven, when our sin is not paid for through the cross of Christ, out of necessity, this just and this fair God must punish that sin. You know, this fear should motivate us in two ways. If we are not a believer in God, it should motivate us to say, I need to know who this God is and have a right relationship with Him. I need to understand clearly what the stakes are in my life. If I continue down my broken path with my broken heart, what is to come of me? And Jesus makes it very clear, fear the one who will cast you eternally into hell. But you know what this fear should do to motivate us as believers? It should help us remember that there are people we walk past every day who are living broken lives and in need of salvation. And out of our negligence, our apathy, we should be afraid of their own eternal destiny. We should understand that our own negligence is sending people to a path of hell. Do you have a healthy fear of who God is? That He is just and right? That He punishes sin? This is not a poor characteristic of God. This is a great characteristic of God. Just this week, we had Bible school, and some of you all had very well-behaved kids, but a few of you had kids that were a little less than well-behaved, right? And I know those of you who had those kids were sitting there thinking, someone needs to do something about this misbehaving child. Maybe it was, I need to do something about this misbehaving child. We cannot let this kid continue doing what he's doing because it's not fair to everyone else. We see sins of children and we say it needs to be corrected for the benefit of the rest of the class, for the benefit of their own individual. We recognize sin in other people. We watch the news and we see crime and we say that person deserves to go to jail or prison. We see terror and we see that person deserves this punishment. We understand when we see sin that it must be accounted for. And yet we look at God for some reason and see His justice. We see that He is fair in punishing sin, and we don't look at Him as being a God who is fair. We look at Him as being a God who is wrathful and mean. But it's only fair and just for God to punish sin, and He does so because He is an eternal God and sin affects Him eternally. The punishment, therefore, is an eternal punishment and affects us eternally. This morning, we have to ask ourselves, do we understand who God is? Do we have a healthy fear and understanding of who God is? Do we know that He is just and right and fair, and He has no choice but to punish sin? And if so, does that motivate us to speak up and tell others about how they can have faith in Christ? We understand that God is just and righteous and fair and even wrathful appropriately. But the second question is, do you love like God? Do you understand the wrathful side of God? And do you also understand the mercy and grace of God? Do you understand that God looks down at people and cares for them? Right after he tells the disciples, fear the one who can send you to hell. Listen to what he says in verses 6 and 7. This is after he's already said, be afraid of the one who will punish your sin eternally. He says, aren't five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Indeed, the hairs on your head are counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus says, have fear, be afraid, because of the eternal punishment that comes for those apart from Christ. But then he follows that up by saying, but listen to how loving God is. Those 2 sparrows that are worth nothing to us, 2 pennies is all they are worth. God cares for them. He provides for them. And he provides for you so much that he knows you so well. He knows every single hair on your head. God has not just created you. He's invested in you. Some of you all, he has to count more than others, right? But he knows the number of hairs on your head. He cares about you enough that he tells you, don't be afraid. Just 2 verses earlier, he said, fear the one who will send you to hell. And then he looks at the believer and says, don't be afraid. Because God is compassionate and he's loving. He provides for all of his creation. Even more so, he provides in detail for you. Do you love like God loves? Do you look at your fellow humanity with the same compassion, with the same care, with the same love that God has? Do we rank who is worth more and who is worth less? Do we sit in with our own prejudice, sit back and say, this person, because they make me feel good about myself, is worth more than this person because I don't know them or they don't make me feel good about myself? Do we have a love for God that says every single person is created in his image? Do we have a care for people to say there's not a single individual on earth that God does not want to save? There's not a single person on earth that Jesus did not come for. There's not a single individual that is beyond his forgiveness. Do we look at people's sin and have such judgment against them that we neglect to share the gospel? Do you love like God loves? Do you understand and fear him with his wrath? And do you have compassion and love and forgiveness the way he does with his love? I think for many of us, an obstacle to speaking up is that we place values on people. There are some people in our minds who are beyond saving. There are some people in our own thoughts that God could not possibly or should not possibly forgive. So we look at people all throughout history. We wonder, could God have saved Hitler? Could he save ISIS fighters? Would God save those who are pushing to abort millions of babies? Can God save those people? Do we understand and see people through the lens that God sees them? It says God cares for each and individual person. Do you love like God loves? Third stumbling block that we must ask ourselves is, do you model faith? You know, one of the reasons why we don't share our faith is because we're not a very good example of what faith looks like. So we're embarrassed to talk about Jesus Christ because our lives don't reflect what the Bible says they should. We read this a moment ago in verses 8 and 9. Jesus says, I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. There's this calling. Are you acknowledging God? And this is not just with your lips, but with your actions and your life. Are you living a life that points people towards God? Or are you living a life that is no different from the rest of the world? A very difficult couple of verses here when Jesus says, anyone who denies or speaks against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But then he says, anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. This is what a lot of people will say is the unforgivable sin, right? If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And we live in fear, have we done this so that we're unforgivable? Now, this blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is simply living a life that rejects the calling of the Spirit on your life, that rejects salvation through Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who gives conviction to us and tells us we need saving. If you reject that, blaspheme or speak against that, then you cannot be saved because you have not accepted His message. Sometimes our lips blaspheme the Spirit. Sometimes our actions blaspheme the Spirit. Sometimes it's less about what we say and more about what we do. I'm haunted, and I've shared this with you before. I'm haunted by the verse. It says, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Many will say, we did good works. We went to church. Many will say, Lord, I acknowledged you with my lips. But on that day, God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because many, many people, Scripture says, have a faith with their lips and not a faith with their life. There is no such thing in Scripture as a lip service faith only. And the question is, do you model the faith that you would proclaim? Do you live a life in such a way that it points people and draws people to God? Or are you rejecting the Spirit this morning? Our final question that maybe helps us overcome our fear of what to say or how it will be perceived is, do you trust the Spirit? We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to speak up. What if I get rejected? What if people don't listen to my message? What if I start talking and all of a sudden they shut me down or start hurling insults at me? I heard an interesting statistic this week. It's actually from about 15 years ago, but I think that it's probably still true today. And that is somewhere around 6 out of 10 people will come to church with you if you come with them. We have this idea that if we invite someone to church or we share our faith, they'll flat out reject you. But if you go to someone, and I'd love for you to test this in the next couple of weeks. If you say, I'll meet you in the parking lot and I'll walk in the church doors with you. Not I'll meet you in the pew, but I'll meet you at Hardee's. We'll have a quick breakfast and I'll bring you to church and we'll come to church together. The statistics that they found were 6 out of 10 people are actually very receptive to that. We have this idea that we will be rejected and shot down and nobody will listen to us. But we're called not to trust in our own methods or our own words, but to trust that the Spirit is working in people's lives and that people are more receptive than we think that they are. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 11 and 12. So whenever they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, whenever they come and ask you to speak up, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. Many of us are worried about what we would say. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. Do you have enough confidence that if you just spoke up on behalf of Christ, that He would give you the words to say? Do you have such a fear that you would mess things up, that you don't trust that God would work through you and honor your faithfulness to speak up? This morning, we are called to share our faith, that gospel message that even though our lives and hearts are broken, Jesus Christ provides a way of salvation for us. He makes us new. We are called to share that, not just in church, but with people outside of these four walls. What obstacles are in your life? What are things that keep you from sharing your faith with others? Is it that you don't understand that God is a just God and a fair God and that people are separated from Him and going to hell? Is it a lack of understanding of compassion that God has for people, that you need to start looking at other people through the lens of Christ? Is it that we don't have a life that reflects the faith that we are proclaiming? Or is it that we don't have enough faith that the Spirit will speak on our behalf? It doesn't matter what obstacles we come up with. Jesus Christ commands us to go and speak up. I wonder this morning, who will come across your path this week? Who you will intentionally pray about right now? Who you will share this message with just in the next 7 days? I wonder if we'll be able to clear the obstacles in front of us. Say, Lord, the most important thing is that I follow what you've called me to do. This morning, maybe you sit here and say, this is the first time this gospel has been explained to me, and I recognize my world is broken, my heart is broken, my life is sinful, and I need forgiveness. that new creation that you said Christ can give. Maybe this morning you're sitting there and you realize that you need that new life. If so, let me tell you that you don't have to wait to the end of this sermon. You don't even have to wait to the end of this sentence. Right here where you are, you can stop and acknowledge, Christ, I need you to forgive my sins and to show me how to live the rest of my life. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then I'm going to be down front. If you have questions or maybe you just need to share some concerns you have about your life or your faith, I'm going to be right down front here so you can come and I would love to pray with you and talk to you. Right now, right where we're at, can we pray that God would give us a boldness to clear obstacles and share this gospel message with others? Let's pray. Father, I pray for forgiveness because we have gone days and weeks and months and even years without obediently telling others about salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that even though our lives, our hearts are broken from sin, that we are now not only imperfect, but we are perfectly sinful. Lord, everything about us separates us from you. Lord, I thank you that you did something about that. Lord, I thank you for the justice of the cross, so that while I deserve punishment for sin, you took that punishment for me. Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness we find through the cross, that you have wiped away our sin and given us a new life. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to fear going to hell in Christ. Lord, that we don't have to fear your wrath any longer. And you tell us, don't be afraid. Lord, I thank you for your compassion and your love, that you care for humanity. Lord, we just pray that you would help us live our lives to model the salvation that we have, that other people could see our faith and be drawn to it. Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to share that with others, and you would give us the words when we open our mouths. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be convicted right now with an individual who we know will come in contact with this week, who needs this message. Lord, make us people who speak up. Lord, right now there's somebody in this very building that needs the message of salvation, who has been listening and questioning, do I really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Lord, let them to know with certainty that you came to this earth to die on the cross for them. Lord, show them that you have forgiven them if they only turn and believe. Lord, show them that you wipe away their sins through the cross of Christ. And Lord, that you give them a new way to live, a way that you intended them to live from the beginning. Help them to follow that fully. Lord, we pray this morning that you would convict our hearts to first and foremost know of our own salvation, and secondly, to speak up and to share it with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.